Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Clutch Conversations. It's your boy, Mike. We back at you one more again, live on a Thursday night, man. Excited to be in the building. Tonight is going down in the clutch. We got the crew from Arizona in the building tonight. We're going to get to that in just a few moments. But first and foremost, shout out to my lovely wife, Takar. Appreciate everything y'all do. Make sure y'all show us some love in the comments. Hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, and Hulk smash that notification bell as well. Definitely make sure you show all the support you can show. Make sure you follow, give us a follow on Morph Market as well. We're trying to get up to at least 250 followers by the end of the year. So definitely hop on Morph Market. If you're not already following us, definitely go shoot us a follow. Make sure you're following us on Instagram as well. That's our Herp Collectors page, which is our main page, as well as the Clutch Conversations show page. Definitely go check us out on IG if you're not already following us. Give us a follow on Facebook as well, and definitely check us out on all major podcasting platforms. That's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. So definitely go check us out. And when you check us out on your favorite podcasting platform, please be sure to follow, rate, and review. It really helps us out. We really appreciate the support. Speaking of support, if you in this reptile hobby in any shape, form, or fashion, make sure you're supporting US Art and US Art Florida. The link for both organizations are in the description of this video, so definitely go check them out. Drop a dono, get you a membership if you don't already have a membership, and definitely spread the word. And speaking of spreading the word, make sure you spread the word about our dope sponsors. We're going to kick this first sponsor video, and then we'll be right back.
Art comes in many forms. At Armies Angels, it comes to life.
In life, success doesn't come to you. You go to it. In this game, forward thinking is the key to innovation and staying relevant. Plan your work and work your plan. Lose yourself in the art. Lose yourself with Wetter Morphs.
Shout out to the sponsors. Appreciate you, Justin. Appreciate you, Unc. Let's see who we got in the chat tonight. 352 in the building. The homie Brian, what's good? Appreciate you coming out. Appreciate the support. Sugar Skull Scurpins. Serpents, Big Kev in the building. What's good, homie? Appreciate you coming out. Appreciate the support. Scales, Fins, and Feathers in the building. What's good? Appreciate you coming out. Appreciate the support. The Sultan of Support himself, Big Bosa in the building. Bosa Reptiles. Y'all make sure y'all follow him if y'all not following. I know y'all already following, but if you're not, you're slipping. So definitely go get a homie a follow. The homie Rock, what's good? Appreciate you coming out. Appreciate the support. Big Will in the building, 217 Pythons. What's good, bro? Appreciate you coming out. Appreciate the support. Shauna, what's good? Sis, appreciate you coming out. Appreciate the support. The homie Jeremy in the building, Bars Exotic Reptiles. Appreciate you coming out. Appreciate the support. Hey, man, that Cypress DG Clown is crazy, bro. Banner in the building. What's good? Appreciate you coming out, sis. More Forge in the building. Appreciate you coming out. Appreciate you coming out. See who else we got. The homie Keys in the building. What's good? Hey, man, great show with Balls of Fury last night, man. If y'all hadn't seen that, definitely go check that out. And hey, we're going to stop it right there. We're going to kick the intro, and then we'll be right back.
Baby, baby, won't you listen to me? I got that flavor. I know you're dying. in the feet. I ain't no dancer, just got some hip in my feet. Now throw your hands up. Ooh, you bring the lighter, I got the fuse. You make a fire, I'll add the fuel. Follow my lead, just watch the shoes. Gotta turn the heat up.
Episode 116, State Property, Arizona. What's good, fellas?
Yeah. How we doing?
Good, good, man. Happy to be here, man. It's good to have y'all out.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah,
man.
Yes, sir.
Dude, those some sexy sponsor videos you got there.
Yeah, that sounds.
Damn, look at that. Big mic.
I was like,
I like it.
TV
right like it.
Now. I was like, yeah, okay. This is great.
Yeah.
We start doing something a little different, a little edgy, pushing it.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. I had a lot of fun making that with me and Sakara. Like, we was laughing and joking about it.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that.
Yeah, shout out to the homie Ump from Witter Morris, the newest sponsor. So yeah, definitely had a lot of fun with that. So yeah. Man, I've been, I couldn't wait to get y'all on the show. Every time I had an Arizona episode, everybody from Arizona just showed up and showed a whole lot of love, whole lot of support. So I said, heck yeah, we definitely got to get Arizona in the building.
Yeah.
Well, we try and support each other.
Yeah, and I screwed up the schedule a little bit, but I'm glad everybody could compromise. I'm glad we're here.
It's a lot of priorities you got to juggle doing this.
Yeah, life, right?
Life be lifing.
Yeah, not everybody's doing ball pythons, I guess, full time, right? Like most of us, I guess.
Yeah, it's definitely a juggling act. Like, yeah. Sometimes you'll be like, whew. But it's worth it at the end of the day, at least from my perspective. I think it is.
As long as you're enjoying what you do, you know?
Exactly. That's the key part right there.
Right.
So, speaking of, how is school going and everything for you, Joe?
Good. Yeah. Finished the first year. So, or sort of, I have one more final to take and then done my first year. So excited for that. And then I think I get like 7 days off my start summer school. So that'll be the, you know, trying to finish as fast as I can. You know, I don't want to be here longer.
you got 2 years after that?
What's that?
You got 2 years after
two
that?
2 years. Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, it might be like 2 years a semester. So I don't know. Kind of depends on what I can really do. But yeah, I'm ready to get it done. That's for sure. Going back to school in your mid to late 30s isn't that fun, as it turns out.
Feels old, huh?
What?
I was in my 20s going back to school, and I was like, oh my God, I'm like the oldest guy here.
That's what I mean. Sure. It's weird.
It's not the same when you go back, man. Like, I was like maybe like 5-6 years, something like that. And when I went back, man, it was crazy. It was just not the same.
Yeah, right. And like, luckily the program I'm in is like, I mean, I would say everybody's, you know, for the most part, 30 plus, cause it's kind of like it's online. So it's hybrid. So, you know, it attracts like a lot of people have like lives and families and jobs and, you know, stuff like that. So, that's kind of nice. I'm not like necessarily around a bunch of like super young kids that I don't know anything about anymore. Cause I'm like old now. but it is weird, like having due dates and stuff like that is weird again. But
yeah, that was the hardest thing for me, was just like balancing everything, because I had got out of that school grind and got out of habit, and I was like resting on doing like certain things and like committing, saying, hey, I gotta sit down and I gotta study this.
Yeah, it was
hard at first, for sure.
Yeah, because you just did a pretty cool program, didn't you? You finished recently, this like past year or so?
Oh, so
with AI?
With the AI, but that was like a easy peasy type class. Like, it was I think it was 6 modules for that class, and it was like 2 weeks a piece. So it was just really like a certification. So it went like going back to get a degree. Right. I haven't been in like school since 2017.
Okay.
It's been a while now. Like if I tried to go back now, like I'll be stuck.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it no more. I'm done. Like with like school. So it's kudos.
So is it true?
What's that?
If you don't use it, you lose it. Is that a fact? I've heard that on the 40-year-old virgin. I don't know. I'm just trying to figure this out.
It's like, it might be true. It might be true.
Man, with a lot of things, that's the gospel truth. Cool. So how things been going with you, Matt?
Man, been busy. Just did the Phoenix reptile show. Me and Marvin were kicking it, hanging out. A lot of people in the building. I mean, that was a pretty good turnout, right, Marvin?
Yeah, it was. It was a nice turnout.
People did were spending too.
Did you both bend, or did y'all just did you?
Yeah,
both
no, we were both bending. Okay. We kind of like share a little spot, you know, kind of watch each other's table.
Yeah,
that's dope. That's dope.
Yeah. It's easy way. It's the best way to do it, really. You know, if you're trying to do it by yourself, man, it can be kind of rough, and you don't get a chance to like get out and socialize and walk the walk and kind of check everybody's stuff out. So,
is that show typically pretty busy?
Yeah, they get pretty packed. This one in particular was pretty busy, and like I said, you know, people actually were spending. You know, lately the economy's been a little iffy, and people been pulling back a little bit, and you know, when it's been $500 on groceries, like you got to kind of reevaluate where you're spending your money. But this time I think it went pretty well overall. And I'm not mad at it at all. So it was a good time, and look forward to the super show coming up soon too.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So
are you gonna vend that?
Yeah, I'm vending that one.
Nice. So cool.
Is that what you're Phoenix?
And I'm Pomona.
It's Pomona.
Oh, you're talking about the
Big one. So Rami was saying they're gonna do like a bird and aquatic and like succulent. It's supposed to be like a really massive show. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Nice. It was already a huge show, I felt like, too.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be even bigger, I guess. So, yeah, I mean, you got there's a crossover you're going to get there with other industries, too. So there's
for
like
sure.
Opening up a whole new group of people potentially.
Right. I mean, and we all like, I have a macaw, I have an aquarium, I have, you know, like we all have this stuff, I'm sure. Everybody out there doesn't just have snakes. No way they started it here.
I do, but I could have a cool bird sitting on my shoulder right here. Right. Some fucking Captain Morgan like a pirate. That'd be pretty legit.
I feel like a bird would go on your shoulder would go with Dumb.
Yeah. Right.
Nice.
Yeah. So, I primarily got snakes, but my son, he's got a lizard. But everything else is snakes other than like the rodents we breed.
Yeah.
What's he got?
Savannah monitor.
Okay. All right. I had one of those back in the day.
For the longest, we thought it was a male, but it like laid like some slugs. So
no way.
There you go. Figure that. Solve that mystery.
Yeah. Without a doubt.
Did you just assume that monitor's gender identity? We live in a weird time. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Certainly implied. That's for sure.
Yeah,
like we referred to him as he for like, see, I just did it again, but for like 2 years. And it's still hard. It's still hard for me to like switch over. But
Gotta watch those pronouns.
Kept the same name though. Hey, definitely kept the same name. So how's the season going for you guys? Whoever wants to jump in.
You want to take it first, Joel?
Season is slow, I guess. I don't know. I've been pairing late. Like I just started pairing like probably like 3-4 weeks ago. So I guess a month maybe. So a lot of snakes that I've already laid or I had laid last season already, I don't think are gonna be laying anytime soon, you know? So I think we're just gonna be late this year, but you know, we moved up like in northern Arizona, so it's a lot cooler, and I just feel like the snakes are different now than they were when I was down like in the valley in Phoenix. So I don't know, we'll see. This is my weirdest year yet of breeding, but I'm excited for the pairings if they go, I guess, you know. So There's always that part of it, you know? So this is like the nervous time of year for me, like trying to get these pairings, trying to get some of these males that are like these first time males that I really want them to, you know, breed this year, and like, you know, making everything perfect. It's like stressful, you know, like these pairings, some of these, but, you know, you get cool snakes at the other end. So I guess, you know, that's always fun, right?
Yeah. Facts. Yeah. I know exactly what you mean as far as like, this being the nervous part of the year, because like I'm going through like a similar thing right now. Like everything for me seems like it's gonna go like super late. Like I'm talking about like having stuff hatching in like November, December.
Yo, me too.
Like it's crazy. Like it's almost like I'm skipping a year. Like I was late before, but like it ain't never like trended this late for me.
Me too. Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's that nervous part of the year because you don't know what's gonna go. Go, and you want like certain stuff to go, and you're hoping it goes, but you don't know at this point,
right? So, yeah, and it's hard to call yourself a ball python breeder if you can't breed ball pythons, so
there's that side of it. So, that's a key element, right?
Your elevation change and weather could certainly impact your season, you know what I mean? But it may work out better for the long run after you get set up and everything,
So it's been like we've done like two full seasons here now, maybe three. Like I moved during season up here, and then now we've done like two full cycles. And I just feel like they're just different now, because they've never stopped. Everybody's just like slamming rats, like they're still building. So I've just been like feeding heavy still. And so it's like usually somebody like backs off, and then I'm like, okay, you're ready, you know. So I don't know, but.
Like this rodent bill's killing me right now. Come on.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Put me out, please.
Nobody's stopping.
What about you, Marvin? How's your season going?
Man, my season is virtually non-existent. I have like, you know, we do a little pair with Yates. But I moved like 6 months ago. So actually it's been a little longer than that. Yeah, no, 6 months ago. So talking about like life, man, life has been life. And so kind of came to a head, and you know, moved. So kind of like new space, trying to figure some things out, want to, you know, reduce the collection a little bit. And really kind of like the past like week or so, I was like, man, like let's go through. I may have someone come through with ultrasound, like see what girls are there, like want to do like maybe five pairings, like that's really it. The stuff that I really want to see, so I don't feel like I'm like completely left out of the season, you know. If there's some girls that are building, I want to see, you know, say, hey, look, does this like, can I get something really cool from this? It's going to help me in my future projects. So I don't feel like I'm too far behind, and I'll pair some of that. But if not, I was like, I kind of figured like, this is going to be kind of like a scrap of a year, and just kind of like, all right, whatever. And get back at it next year. But my season's virtually non-existent, man.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good strategy. You know, as we're facing this economy and everything that's working out the way it is, you don't want to have too many animals to be sitting on them. So, you know, but you still want to be driving your projects forward. So I think that's, you know, the way to go. I'm sort of approaching things in a similar fashion. I'm doing minimal pairings, certainly doing some very cool stuff. I've got two clutches on the ground and two in the incubator right now.
Nice.
And I got some bangers too, man. It's looking good. I don't know if anybody saw my lavender project. I had some stuff out. I know Marvin saw it. I had the cool lavender clown on my table. Hypo clown clutch didn't get any visual clowns though, so I'm questioning genetics on the parents. I'm going to do a little testing to figure that out, which is a cool new thing we can do now. So the pairing, let me see, it was the female was a fire lesser yellow belly 100% het clown to a black head hypo that was a 100% het clown. Supposedly they were both 100% het. You know, there's a chance something could have happened along the way. I did produce the female, I did purchase the male, but I'm going to test them both, and at least that'll kind of, you know, maybe I just scratched out on bad luck, you know. Yeah, you never know. And then, yeah, the two in the incubator, I got a really cool, basically, you know, hypo DG clown project with the possibility of hitting visuals. We'll see. I've got some 50% heads in there, and then my last number four I just hit was pretty cool. A core glow, red stripe, yellow belly, 100% het clown to a spot nose OD clown visual. So just a simple clown project. That's going to be a banger. If I could get all those genes, I think that'll turn out real nice.
Not you, even half of them. Even half of them.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah, it would be pretty good.
I'll be happy. Yeah.
We'll see. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be dope, man. That'd be really dope. Like, I really love like the interaction of all those genes, and then to potentially get them all in one snake. That'd be crazy.
Coral Glow and Red Stripe, and then, you know, obviously just the enhancement of the Yellow Belly. I mean, just the male when I purchased him, that was a JKR purchase. It was, I mean, you know, like as he's aged, it's not quite as nice. I'm not a fan of the black spots and whatever, but he still looks pretty damn good. And I think about that in a visual clown, and throw the pattern enhancement of the spot nose and the OD kind of, you know, intensifying those colors. Yeah, I'm mad at that. We'll see how it turns out.
Yeah. Aside from the bell genes, what else reduces spots in banana and coral glow?
That's a good question. I don't know. I've had a very limited amount of work with coral glow, so I can't really speak to it. I know there are some genes that will definitely reduce it. I couldn't name them off though, to be honest with you.
Gotcha. Yeah, we got like a banana clown combo in it. A banana clown combo like 2-3 maybe 4 years back, like early on, and he's got lesser and zero spots.
Nice. Okay.
Lesser, right, for
sure. And then I've got lesser. Female say again.
I love lesser stuff. I think it's just it's what I have, a you know, it's kind of got a special spot in my heart because that was like the first male I bought was a lesser pastel. Thought I was hot shit with that codon back in the day. back in 2007 or whatever, that, you know, so long ago. But
that was a big deal then though.
Yeah, it was. I remember hatching my first one out and I was like, oh my god, I am the man. And then I went to sell it for like $400 or something like that. I mean,
that's
the world we live in, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, nature of the beast, I guess, too, a little bit.
100%.
You know, but lesser's rad. I really like lesser. All the lesser puzzle stuff, I think, like, Bell Complex puzzle stuff, awesome. You know, like, it's lesser's such a versatile gene. You know, it can go everywhere.
Yeah. Pairs well with a lot of stuff, too. I know the first lesser combo I saw that I really loved was a lesser clown. Brock Wagner had produced. I was like, oh my god, that thing is amazing. That's what turned me on to clowns, to be honest.
Right.
That's like your favorite gene. Yeah.
Nice.
What was that crazy puzzle combo you hit last year, Joe? It was like, I think like Bungo was in it, puzzle. What else?
We there's been a few of them hatched out recently, I've been seeing, but we hit that Bungo puzzle last year. I was super excited.
That was cool.
Yeah, it's just like, it's always exciting when a combo actually is obvious, I guess. You know, because like puzzles, you know, young, I feel like, with a lot of combinations. So some combos work, some combos don't, kind of, I feel like, naturally with every gene. And then some combos like kind of don't really do that much. So it's like cool when, like, I don't know, puzzle can be strong, so it's cool when something can manipulate puzzle, and then that gives you a lot of like leg room in the future, like spot nose puzzle, obviously the Bell Complex puzzles, all of that, and then like mixing all those together, you just start getting like really cool snakes. So the GHI stuff, that's what I'm most excited for this season. GHI puzzles finally
has that been done? Mail.
What's up,
has that been done?
We have I have a GHI puzzle female breeding this year.
Nice.
And then, I have a male GHI Mojave puzzle male going this year for me finally. So it's like, you know, be making hats this year. That's the thing.
You produced those a couple years ago, right?
Yeah.
I remember now. Yeah those are puzzles. Pretty legit, right? They look good.
I think they look epic. I mean, it might not be for everybody, but yeah, I think it looks so sick. Like, and then when we start like getting even just Yellow Belly into stuff like this, like those like genes are like black pastel Yellow Belly, you know, it completely changes the snake. Like Yellow Belly does so much, so it's like, that's, you know, long term, it takes forever to get these things into projects, man. It's crazy.
Yeah,
for sure.
Grind.
Speaking of that's Yellow Belly, like, somebody sent me an RGI video today about like Yellow Belly and some new discoveries, but I hadn't had a chance to look at it. Did y'all get to see it by any chance?
No.
I mean, I knew they could test for like all of them now, like gravel and, you know, all that, which is pretty cool.
And I saw a post, it was something about it being like two separate mutations or something like that.
This is different lines, like what?
I think it was probably like more along the lines of different lines. No pun.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I wonder if that's the lines of like I was different, like yellow boy lines. Like was it orange belly back in the day? And that's with that. And then I think Nerd had their own separate line. It was bling yellow belly. Like you guys remember all that stuff? Like for like back in the day, kind of.
Yeah. You're right.
It has to do with that type of stuff, man. Like I don't know. Anybody in the comments saw the video, man. Like, let me know if I'm on the right track there, but I wonder if it has to do something with that.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check it out and see, and I'll talk about it next week.
there we go.
Didn't Ralph Davis have his own line of yellow belly too?
That's what I was about to ask. I think so. Yeah. I can't remember what it's called though, but I'm pretty sure.
Bling.
Like
bling.
No. What was his call? I'm trying to remember what it was from that old school, like that Phantom video he had. He had in there. Anybody remembers that back in the day?
Somebody dropped that in the chat.
Man, what was that? What was his line called?
Goblin.
Goblin.
Shout out to Genomic Labs. Yeah, Goblin.
Yeah, that Goblin.
Appreciation, man.
And that chat. These guys are good. I love it.
Got to defer to the chat.
Matter, you know? Phone a friend, you know?
Phone a friend. Who do you guys use for shed testing?
I haven't shed tested a single snake yet.
Okay. I've done two.
A whole bag full of sheds.
Yeah.
Or envelope full of sheds, I should say. But I just hadn't sent none of them off. I'm waiting on like one last snake to shed.
Yeah. Don't wait. Just send it. I have so many in my snake room that I've probably sat on for 2 years now. It's ridiculous.
I emailed Charlie, like I DM'd him on Gray Ride or whatever, 2 days ago maybe. Like, man, like how old can these sheds be? Because I got a box full of sheds, man. It's like
as long as it's in good condition,
it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah, as long as it's in good condition. If it dried out before you put it away, I guess. Like, I got baggies, like labeled, like just I need
to buy
the test
and get
them off. So I have a list, man, of like stuff I need to like go through and test. I've been sitting on for like at least a year, man. What's that?
I got them all in little baggies with label. If I got pulled over and like the cops saw it, they'd be like, what the hell is that? It's snake sheds, man. I promise.
Don't worry about that.
Nothing illegal.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it, Scott.
Well, I'm gonna definitely hit Charlie up when I'm ready to send him off. I hadn't done it, man. I've been slacking.
Yeah, I was just talking to him recently, and I was trying to. He's like got like some kind of point system. Like it was a little confusing. I was trying to figure out exactly like cost associated with everything. But I definitely told him I was telling him about the situation with this clutch I just hatched out and how I got no visual clowns. 7/8 clutch, you figure, you know, statistically you should have got at least one clown. So I'm like, I'm going to start with just kicking a couple of the parent, just a shed from each parent, and then just see where that goes.
Yeah.
Dude.
What's the point system?
Say again?
You said a point system?
Yeah. It was weird. I was looking at his website. If you look, it's like shedtesting.com. There's some kind of, it's like you buy credits or points or something like that. I'm sure somebody in the chat could probably break that down a little bit better. I didn't quite grasp, but I was just like, how much per snake? What is this going to cost me? And he's like, I'll work with you. Dude seems super cool.
Yeah, Charlie's a real good dude, man. Every interaction I had would have been dope.
Yeah.
I did some shed testing early on, like when it kind of first came out, like with RGI, that type of stuff, just for clown on some animals. But now that like more of the stuff is out, I think Puzzle came out, I think the other day or last week, whenever it was, I saw that. So those girls I got from you, Joel, I know I gotta send those girls in too.
Yeah, that whole clutch, still have half the clutch that I haven't shed tested. I'm like, man, dude, why haven't I
just kind of happy about that? So I just gotta get some sheds from those girls in. And add those to the list of
pile.
It's at least 25-30. It's at least.
You guys only shed testing like potential whole bats, or do you shed test something that you know you're going to sell regardless of if it proved head or not?
We aren't even shed testing, basically.
Yeah. I did a little bit of RGI shed testing back in the day, mostly holdback stuff. This was like before it was even the big release with like Canova and the Morph Market, compilation they were doing. But I would say that I would love to shed test every animal, but yeah. Hey man, that dollar amount starts stacking up real quick, right? A little bit of that cheddar, you know, I'm like, nah, I'm going to be a little bit more selective. So,
run it up.
but you know, I would love to just not have to ID anything. One of the worst things to me about breeding ball pythons is trying to ID them and be, you know, real accurate about it. I just try and say, hey, best guess is this. This is what I think it is. You know, I can tell you the parents are, you know, visual, this recessive, and try and just be very transparent with people. But, you know, you don't want to get crucified for, you know, missing out on yellow belly or something like that when you see somebody a snake.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. It's funny, the shed test. Like, I had a double head sunset pies. I've bred them 3 times. So that's like,
where are those?
I don't know. I think we have just under like 25 eggs. We've never hit a sunset.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. I had it shed tested. They are head sunset.
Just wow. Shit luck.
Head odds. Dang.
So,
yeah.
You know, there you it know is.
You said double head to double hit?
Yeah.
So 1 in 16. So in theory, you should have had at least one.
I should. Yeah. You would think I'd have at least a visual just sunset.
Yeah. Yeah.
Through all of that. But yeah, man, we've been just hammered on the odds. So there are some normals out there that might be het sunset het pies that, you know, I was completely unaware.
Yeah.
You know. So yeah, weird. But to the point of you should have hit a clown, man, I feel like I should have hit a sunset by now.
how many eggs you say you got on the ground on that project?
25. 23.
25?
Just under 25. Sheesh.
That's crazy.
Dude, that wow. Crazy. We hit a pied. We hit 2 pieds our first clutch. We hit a pied the second clutch. We hit all normals the third. We even hit a pied.
Wow.
Crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy. I think I had good odds on like 2 out of 18 clutches last year. Everything.
Yeah, that's tough. What I mean. That's like that's why this takes so much time, you know? Absolutely. None of this is guaranteed. It's crazy how hard it is to make some of these snakes. And there's the value, right?
Yeah.
People will ask that. I'll have them, you know, I'll be at a show and have like clutch mates or something that maybe one is a double visual, one's a single visual. They're like, what is the deal with the price difference? You know, your average, your novice that doesn't know anything. And they don't realize the years that go into producing these animals. I mean, you know, some of these projects I've been working on, you know, I could like closer to a decade. I mean, it's crazy to think that you could work on it that long. You know, if somebody else took 10 years to build something or do something, you know, they'd command pretty good money. I think it's kind of a, you know, a very good deal, really. Some of the prices people get some of these animals for, considering all the time that goes into producing them.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Especially nowadays, like right now in the market.
Yeah, right now, man, it's some really good prices out there if you're willing to like invest.
People are buying, you know, double recessives, you know, triple quad heads like on the cheap right now. I mean, think about how many generations it took to make that happen.
Oh, yeah.
Insane. And, you know, Canova's out there just dropping them on Morph Market. And I'm just like, gosh, you know, some of these like DG clown, genetic stripe combos that are out there right now, like
crazy
dude with like 4 or 5 codoms mixed in already. That's insane.
Yeah it's wild. Yeah. Well, it ain't his first rodeo. He's been doing it for a long time.
He got a lot of shots. He had like a DG clown pos lace double head G stripe hypo. Like a male. You saw that
male.
Yeah
I know. 8k, I think.
Yeah, something like that. 885 something.
Yeah, 85. Yeah, if it was really lace, if it was for sure lace, I think that would be the snake to have. For sure.
I didn't see that one. What'd you say it was? DG clown.
DG clown. Possibly. Hypo, I think G stripe or something.
Yeah, hypo G
stripe. And it's pos lace.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy, man.
Yeah, he's probably about 250, 300 grams by now.
Yeah, like it's probably breedable, you know, October.
Some heavy feeding. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Depending on the animal, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So Mike, we talked about our clutches. How's your season going?
It's going like super slow, man. Like I was saying, everything's going like super, super late. I haven't even been ultrasounding as much as like I used to, because like the last couple of seasons, I would ultrasound probably like every 3 weeks or so. Mm-hmm. Just because like everybody was like building consistently. Everything was like really starting to pop off like around March. Well, right. It's not that way this year. Everything is eating. Some girls eating like super aggressively. I haven't ultrasounded in like probably like a month and a half or so, just because like last time I ultrasounded, like everybody was like under like 10, right? And so like I just been paying attention to the girls that's been eating aggressively. I've been making sure I've been feeding them, and I've been pairing them and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So there I'll ultrasound like in the next probably like 1-2 weeks or something like that. I don't know. And then we'll see where everybody at. And then I have a better judge of like where I'm at. I kind of already expected like not to have a whole bunch of production this season. And at the end of the day, it's not the end of the world for me if I don't have like a ton of production this season. But I do want to make sure I position myself to be geared up to be able to produce like a good bit of stuff next season. Cause next season is when like I got like several shots at like triple stuff, double stuff, like some nice like codon pack singles and double kind of stuff. And so like next year is really the year that I'm focused on, and so I want to make sure everybody ready to go for next year.
Planning ahead.
Yeah.
And like that's the other thing, like in the hobby, like you have those years where you're like producing hats, and then I mean Marvin, dude, he built like these army of these, you know, het DG, het clown stuff, and
room full of it, man.
Yeah, and I feel like it proved out a little bit for you.
finally, yeah. And that's kind of like the hard part about like sitting out, like basically kind of sitting out a year. Is like, man, like I look around, like man, like I got some girls that are like double head, like post triple head, like ready to go, and it's just like, all right, that's what's about like ultrasound. Like, man, if I come in and some get ultrasound, whatever, like have somebody ultrasound some stuff for me, like, and they look like they're ready to go, like I'll pair them, but it's like, all right, it may just be a better chance shot of it, like just having better clutches next year. Everything's gonna be more prepared, kind of used to the room. I moved like twice, like in the same place, like so from one room to the next. So yeah, man. So it's like, all right, let's stuff kind of chill out for a little bit. But yeah, it's like testing. So even on that note, kind of go back talk about testing. Like I look around, like I'm testing like stuff that like has been in the clutch for a little bit that I have doubles of, you know, that, you know, because before testing came out, I was holding on to all my girls. So like I have multiples of certain things, you know, I have a pair of like Mojave Head DG girls that they're both 50% posset clown. It's like one of those got to prove out. It's like, all right, let's get them tested, figure out which one I'm going to keep, which one I'm not going to keep, and that type of thing. But just kind of help make some better decisions from that standpoint. But then, you know, all the stuff I produced last year that's like, you know, head DG, you know, posset clown type thing, I think I've had a GHI lesser clown that's posset DG, like that type of stuff, man, that like I'm iffy on. I'm going to test that stuff too. So it's like, all right, let's test it. I have multiple GHI DG girls that are 66% posset clown. Like, let's get those things tested. Like, figure out which ones I'm going to offer up, which ones I'm going to keep. And that way, at least people will know, especially on that type of stuff, a little more higher ticket stuff, they know. So kind of go from there. But yeah, we'll see, man. We'll see.
Yeah, it's people tend to gloss over what a huge benefit the testing is. You know, if you're kind of old school and you're like proving out the old way, it takes years, right? You're raising everything up, hatching out, you figure out on hatch day. And now you're like, you know, it's like Joel was talking about, like, man, you would have for sure thought that those snakes were not het sunset, right?
For sure.
But, you know, and God forbid you jump on somebody, right? Be like, you sold me some bullshit snakes. No.
Joel, like, no. Well, I remember talking to Joel about that back in the day, man. He's like, I remember talking about that when he was here in Tempe.
Yeah.
Like, we talked about that. I had a weird situation just came up just recently, man. I wasn't saying that, but since we're on the testing topic, like I produce an animal that I know is Het DG, and someone else has it. And person hit me up, like he got it from a different person, but like, hey, look, like I've paired this animal with a couple of times. I haven't popped out any DGs. I'm like, so, you know, working behind the season, he's got it tested. I don't know when, but like back in the day, but so trying to work through that type of thing. But like, it's like, man, what do you do?
Right.
So just trying to figure it out. The testing helps. But the, you know, some situations like that too, where you're like, man, like I know that animal's DG, Het DG, you know, but they could just be hitting bad odds. And then obviously testing comes back, you know, that is whatever. It's like, yeah,
there's bad odds. And then there's like just outright getting shit on. Right. Yeah. And I think we've all like that happened before. So
Yeah. And it's usually the one you want the most. So
it's always the one you want. One never seems to grow well or feed well for whatever.
Absolutely not.
You know about that, Matt.
Yeah.
It's like Murphy's Law or something.
Yeah, right. These are the actual facts of the game right here.
Yeah, 100%.
Like I had one clutch to like really surprise me. And I was like, dang, I probably used up all my luck on like this one clutch. And I don't know, I might have told you about it, but I had bred a Inchy Leopard Yellow Belly DG Het Clown to a clown pot female. And I was just hoping to make like some visual clowns, this double head for DG Pot.
Yeah.
And so, and then obviously like the codoms in the mix and stuff like that. And so when I got back in town like on a Sunday and saw like two of them had pipped and neither one were visual clowns. And so I was already like mentally preparing myself like for kicking the nuts as far as like the odds go. I was like, man, I'm probably just missing out on everything. The very next one I cut, because I cut the first two that pipped first. And then like I cut another one and it was like a clown pied combo. And I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Like, wait, what? And I was like, how is this even possible? And so like now I'm cutting the rest of them and it ended up being like three clown pied combos in there that were Het DG. I had a pied combo, this double Het DG clown. And I had a clown combo, this double Het DG pied, and like some stacked triple heads. So it was crazy.
They weren't, you didn't know they were Het for clown? What was it that you didn't know they were
Het? I didn't know he was Het for pie. He ended up for pie. Yeah. And so I like put me way ahead in that project.
Oh, yeah. That is that's true.
Huge. Yeah, like so I had leopard and didn't have tracks or ring or anything like that.
Wow. Yeah, it's you know, it's like these days there's so many people that are working with multiple recessives and whatever that it's not uncommon to just randomly hit something. I've had a number of times where I've had both parents that I did not know were hypo and I've hit hypos. Like who would have thought, you know, but
clutch, like the clutch we did together. Yates. Right. Let me talk about that.
Yeah.
What happened with that clutch?
So that was that, that Wookiee chocolate, DG combo. We ran that together. It was a collaborative clutch we did. And, neither one of us knew that the parents were hypo and ended up hitting the hypo DG, you know, Wookiee chocolate. So
that's a snake.
Yeah,
that's a good one. Yeah,
yeah, that's a good snake.
Yeah. Well, we're doing it again. So
there you go.
Might be my only clutch of the year. Run it back, man.
So, what do you guys think about like Wookiee and chocolate? Y'all think they're the same thing, or do y'all think they're different? Like.
Yeah, that's a good question. It break down to just genetically, is there a diversity to test differently? Probably. To me, I feel like they look pretty similar. There's some people have told me, no, I can tell the difference. Like I was selling some offspring from that clutch and I just labeled them as chocolate or Wookiee. I don't want to be the one to make the call and make it wrong. Right. So I think if there's any kind of like question on it, you just say, hey, it could be this or this. And then you basically make the call on that one. Or if you can test it, I don't know if there's, I don't think there's testing for Wookiee and I'm not even sure about chocolate, to be honest.
I don't think so. Not yet, at least.
Yeah.
It'll be nice to have though. Cause I just want to know, like just for my own purposes, I don't personally have any Wookiee, but I might pick some up if it's different. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's cool, Gene.
Yeah. It's real cool.
Yeah,
because I see a lot of dope like Wookiee combos, and so
yeah,
I got a lot of chocolate though. I ain't gonna say too much, but I do got like quite a bit of chocolate.
Yeah,
Knuckles legit just creates that nice contrast. You know, anything in that complex, you know, that's all like spider complex stuff there, right? The chocolate, the Wookiee, the blackhead, all of that. And
yeah,
it's too bad that they have some of the, you know, anomalies with the genetics where there's like defects, because I love everything in that complex. I'd love to get more supers out of it. You know, some of them work and obviously some of them don't. So you just got to be selective about what you do.
Yeah, me too. Like, I agree 100%. Like, that's really like, as far as like allelic complexes, like that's one of my favorite ones. It sucks that like spot nose, like its potential issues, super sniper potential issues. Obviously the stuff with like spider and then like champagne, like will have his issues. So it sucks that like it's some of those like in that complex that you can't necessarily put together, but like the ones you can, like it's really, really nice. Like spot nose and chocolate go together, like peas and carrots, especially in clown. just like super chocolate, that's dope. It's a lot of like,
oh, cool, super chocolate,
so good,
so sick. Yeah, super chocolate. And it's cool because chocolate and single gene goes with everything, and then you can always double down on it, you know.
Yeah,
that's
it really does. I wish Cypress is one of those that I really like, and I wish you could run that into some more stuff, you know. I wish there was a super, like a viable super.
Yeah,
me too. Is it Cypress, it's just a wobble, right?
Wobble, yeah.
Is that all it is? I thought that it was like a lethal. It's not lethal.
It's just a wobble, but can be pretty extreme from what I hear. So I don't know.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I don't have a limit, though.
Yeah. Did it look cool? Yeah. Have you seen one?
No, I think, was it Miguel that talked about like not running that back? He's like, we did those Super Cypress. He's like, I can't remember who it was. I want to say it was Miguel, but I think he mentioned like having hatching out some Super Cypress stuff. And he's like, man, I'm not doing that pairing again. So
this is where we need the chat to come through. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
Let us
know. Yeah, right.
Phone a friend. Powerball clown stuff look really cool.
Dude, I love those. I've never produced one personally, but my understanding is it's not even that bad. You know, I don't know that. I've not personally like produced one and can vouch for it, but I know some people that have, and they're like, nah, it's not terrible, but I'm sure that there's degrees to it, right? You know, some may have corkscrewing and wobbling, and others may not be anything that's visually detectable.
It's probably like spider, like, because some spiders, like, no visible wobble at all. And then just corkscrewing, doing all kind of crazy stuff.
Yeah.
So it's just animal dependent.
NG1 was, I think, the same thing too, right? Like, I mean, my NG1 was stuff like perfectly fine. No wobble, nothing. Like, but some people, they say like NG1, their stuff wobbles pretty bad. It's like, what's that?
Just a single hinge one?
Superform is lethal.
Superform is lethal? Okay.
I think so.
Yeah, I don't think you're supposed to do a super hinge one.
Yeah, that's a no-go.
What about Sable?
Sable? Sable's like the same thing.
What complex is that?
It's in that same complex.
That's all that same complex.
Nah. Yeah, Sable, man, that's kind of a slept-on gene. I actually kind of like it. It has this cool, like, if you've seen the Super... No, they have a Super Sable, no?
Sable does
they
have do. A
Super Sable. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like really iridescent. It's cool. It looks sort of like a bowling, you know? It's like, I don't know. I remember those back in the day. I haven't seen anybody really work with Sable in recent history.
Yeah, there was some Super Sable clowns out a couple of years ago.
Ooh.
Those are really cool looking. But I feel like everybody got scared of it because it had like a little bit of a wobble in the Super. And that's what everybody did with Spot Nose, and then now look at Spot Nose. You know, so it's like, I feel like it's one of those genes where you could probably find some room in it.
Yeah. For sure. One of the pairs I'm looking most forward to like this year is like a pair in that complex. So I got a vanilla Dark Knight Hit Hypo, and I'm putting him to a chocolate leopard Huffman double hit hypo clown. So hoping to hit like some either like a super chocolate hypo clown or a hypo Dark Knight, and then obviously got leopard vanilla and Huffman in the mix. So I'm hoping, we'll see. That's one of the girls just looking
right there. Right there.
No big deal, you know. You're just like talking all casual, like you can do it. All that dark and light and hypo and everything. Yeah, that's a banger clutch.
I love how you threw that like that was regular.
Yeah. Hold on, you can't just throw that out and be like, no big deal. You know, another day in the office. So.
Super chocolate, it's subject to the eyes though.
So
yeah, that's true.
It's a lot of stuff that have to happen before it.
That's the first thing is you got to have them, and you got to get them, breed them, and that's all out of the way. So figure it out from there. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
If I don't hit what I want, I'm gonna definitely run that back next year.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not a fan of like going for the same thing twice, but I mean, if you scratch out and you really want it, like go for it, right? Like me and Marvin are running that one back. Like sometimes it just warrants it.
Yeah, I need that in my life for real.
I need that in my life for real.
Right? Yeah. I think the whole community needs that.
Yeah.
About it.
Hey guys, we're gonna take a real quick sponsor break, about a minute or so, and we'll be right back.
Solid.
Peace and love, family. We invite you into the heart of our serenity, Ancestral Royal Pythons. At Ancestral Royal Pythons, we're not just breeders, we're nurturers of love and growth. Each of our high-end ball pythons is a tribute to the grandeur of the natural world and our dedication to quality. Reach out today and bring one of our creations into your home. This is Ancestral Royal Pythons. Your journey begins here.
Here's to the exciting world of ebony and ivory reptiles. From unforgettable parties and events to keeping and hatching some of the dopest reptiles in the reptile hobby, we're all about education, quality, integrity, and respect. Hit us up and see how we can help make your next project a reality. Experience Ebony and Ivory Reptiles, where fascination meets fun.
Ebony and Ivory Reptiles.
Shout out to the homie. Shout out to the homie Matt. Appreciate the support.
I love that part, man. I see, I almost sing along.
Yeah.
Hold to drop it. We got Matt to sing it on the show.
I saw. He killed it.
We got to get you to sing it before we get out of here tonight.
Oh no!
How long have you guys known each other?
I've known the
Super Show.
Least. Yeah, Super Show.
Yeah.
I met.
Yeah, so Marvin, I was 2 years, maybe.
I had to be. It might be. Yeah, two at least.
Yeah.
I think when I met Yates, because I've known like the shortest amount of time, but we're both Nebraska boys, so that kind of when do we meet? Like maybe
probably again, been at least 5 or 6 years, right? I moved here in 17,
probably 4 years, 4 or 5 years, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I feel like I met you before COVID, so probably like 18.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Joel, I mean, I don't know. We go back like
forever. I feel like
a while. I don't know, man. Like
when I very first started was
what was that, Joel?
Sorry, 2016,
2015,
2014, somewhere in there.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. I met Marvin like one of my first shows. I don't even know.
Yeah.
You had something on the table, and I was just talking to you because I've just walked. I've never vended. I just walk around usually.
Yeah. That's back when you used to grace the presence at the Phoenix show.
Yeah.
It's been, man.
Last week I haven't been there. Last year I didn't go, and then this year obviously I was gone. Or this year was my year to go for sure. Because I buy rodents from a group called Bad Reptiles. Bobby and Okay, so. And they were going down there. So I was, I was like, oh, okay, cool. I think that was like one of their first times vending it or something like that. But because they moved from up north. But
Yeah,
is it still in the same spot?
Yeah. It is.
So it is busy in there. That place gets real busy.
Fact.
Yeah. If it's
those lanes, they need to widen it a little bit.
I feel like it needs to be a bigger venue.
Yeah.
Is it packed like Tinley packed? As far as like,
it's not
the same amount of people.
Right? Yeah,
but per square inch, it feels like it. it's tight.
It's not a bad show, really. Considering it's local too, it's in our backyard. That's nice. We don't got to drive all the way to California to get in on this one. So I can unpack and come home and sleep in my own bed. That's a beautiful thing.
That part's lovely.
Yeah.
Like for me, that's
the biggest thing. Pomona on a Sunday is
I gotta take Monday off. I can't. And that's if I even drive in. Like the real deal is pack up, go back to your hotel, crash, roll out early in the morning. That's the best way to do it if you can.
Those big
doing
shows.
A show, talking all day and dealing with people, and then packing it all up, and then a 6-7 hour drive. I mean, forget about it, man. I definitely had a couple times I was driving back just nodding off. That's not a good. That's not a good thing.
You know? Yeah, ain't worth it. Yeah, that's ain't worth it.
Exactly that. Yeah,
Monday for sure.
No matter how much you made at the show, it's not worth it.
No.
Yeah.
It's
not. Mm-hmm. Big shows like that for sure. Yeah, when you're traveling.
They wipe you, man. It's a lot. You know, talking to all those people. And don't get me wrong. I love the energy of it. I love meeting the people. But, like, at the end of the day, when it's all over, like, oftentimes they do the auctions and stuff. And, like, occasionally I'll pull it together and go do those things. But sometimes I'm just like, man, I just want to go to my hotel room or some room service, kick back, watch some bullshit on TV, whatever.
Yeah, I get that. I'm a big auction lover. But I do understand the day, the day of Saturday. Yeah. After you've already done it Friday, you've traveled, you've got there, you've set up.
Yeah.
And then there's usually some kind of like a VIP type experience. So you're usually like set up early, Yeah, that's a day.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a 15-hour day.
The whole thing. Like, it's just, I'll be like tired for a week after a weekend show. I mean, it is nice to have it over. Like I feel like I just recovered. What was that last weekend, Marvin? We did that one.
Yeah. For me, like it was last weekend, two weeks ago. It all ran together. Cause literally right after that, I got back here and I moved, like I said, like from one room in the house, like the collection from one room in the house to a different room. Like that night I like started moving. Like it was,
so that's a whole thing all by itself.
It just kind of ran together, man. It just kind of ran together.
Yeah.
You guys extroverted vendors, or are you more like kind of kick back? Like, what's y'all style?
I'm extroverted at a show, but I'm an introvert at home, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, I'll put it on, I'll do whatever, but like, people are exhausting. I ain't gonna lie. You know what I mean? Like, it's tough. You gotta put it out there, right? Like, I got that energy. I love it. I enjoy doing it. This is my passion. I'm very passionate about it.
Yeah.
Man, sometimes people, though, they're, it can be a little bit difficult. Like, it's funny because people are kind of lazy. They ask a lot of questions that you're like, well, there's this thing called the internet. You could probably figure this out on your own. And it's not like I won't take the time to educate them, but, to each their own, I guess. Right. Like some people need you to hold them by the hand and guide them. Right. And others, you're just like, hey man, just, Google this thing. Right. And you can put them on that path and be like, I'm a resource if you need help, and they'll take that action. So. Yeah,
that's the work part of the day there, right there.
100%. Yeah,
that's the grind right there. Saying the same thing,
so many times,
over and over and over and over and over.
Marvin has to be tired of hearing me.
I haven't slowed school down. I can almost say it like him too. No.
Yeah, right. It's the same thing.
No, I really. Yeah, I get it, man. Like it's like shows. Like, I think it's like this, man. Like. I can't remember. I heard say this analogy, man. Like sometimes people are batteries or vacuums, right? And so like they either like give you energy or they drain your energy, right? And so like shows for the most part is just batteries. Like just like you said, like you're talking to people. Even if like me, I'm an introvert, man. So like introvert with extrovert tendencies. And so like you're talking to people about the snakes, about the hobby. Like man, you get like a little amped up, a little excited, and then it's like all right, like going like show. Like sometimes like might have like a part in the show where it's like. Not getting me people like stopping by talking, they're just kind of like checking things out, like not really chit chatting too much. And it's like, all right. And then they get someone that comes by and is like, and they completely recharge you. You know what I'm saying? So it's nice from that standpoint. You have one of your buddies come by, like talking about like their projects and just kind of sitting there talking. Like next thing you know, you look at them like, all right, time's been flown by and got to like maybe like take a time out and address some other people that are like checking some animals out. But it's nice, man. I love the shows, man. But at the same time, like they are draining as well.
You guys got any funny stories from some shows?
Not any I can tell here.
I mean, yeah, I don't know if I can say it on a live, but yeah.
The funny story is the show. You got to go to the show to see the story. That's the point. That's the whole point, right? You know, like, it's the what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. That's what the show is. They're crazy. Yeah. They're a lot of fun because everyone's having a good time. Because how often are you around 600 other people that like snakes? You know, never. So
never. Like,
never, you know, you're usually the only one where you're
that's
at.
That's a fact. And how many times have you met, sorry, Joel, so many times have you met somebody that you never have met in person, right? But you know, like you're right.
You
know, and it's like, oh my God, what's up, man? Come take a photo. Like, let's hang for a minute. Like, that's a cool thing.
Yeah, that's the snake show. That's why you go, right?
Yeah.
It's the energy. It is the snake show is the battery.
Zip it, Randy.
I like it. Yeah, I know. Look at this guy. What's up, Randy?
Cool. So on these state property episodes, like we like to ask folks to give shout outs to folks from their state that's in the reptile industry. So who are some folks that y'all would shout out of Arizona? Whoever wants to jump in first, go first.
I'll take it first.
All right, go.
I want to shout out, like, one, the people that, like, said life's been life in the past couple of years, man. Like, my move was really, like, kind of happened really fast. So I want to shout out the people that, like, first that helped me move and move the collection, because that was, like, my biggest, like, worry. But this dude's been a big help for me, like, Zach Sumter, Pied His Life. If you don't know him, like, man, he has amazing stuff, too. That's one you should probably get out on the show, man. His brother didn't move, but, like, big help, Micaiah, Masra.
Mika?
Mika. and then I have Coach's Royals.
Robert. Yeah. He's a man.
Santana. Who am I leaving somebody else out? Because that was a whole, like, event in and of itself, man. Like, that's a whole different story. I feel like I'm leaving somebody out. And then, like, the people that, like, let me kind of, like, tag along with them, man. Like, people always kind of bring me in to do shows, that type of thing. Even, like Forgetful and, you know, trying to register for a show. And it's late and it's, like, it's booked. But, like, Randy and Carla Design Creations, Eric, yeah. Blackjack Reptiles, like, those guys, man, have been, like, super helpful for me in terms of, like, just locally. Always got my back, man. So, man, I really appreciate all y'all. I know I'm forgetting some people. Leaving some people out. There's some up-and-coming breeders here who make some dope stuff that I haven't really met yet, but those are the people that mainly, like, always, man, they always kind of come through me for me, and, like, they'll DM me, man, Marvin, you good? I haven't heard from you in a couple months. Like, checking on me, that type of stuff. So just so I can get this out of the way and say it publicly, man, I appreciate all y'all.
Dope. Hello. What about you, Matt?
Marvin stole them all. I don't know what to say. You know what I mean? There's probably many people, of course, after we'll get off this podcast, I'll be like, damn, I should have, you know, but no, man, everybody he listed, awesome people. We have a pretty good scene here in Arizona, I'm not going to lie. And people bring that heat, man. It's no joke. I mean, there's some real deal. I mean, look, we got, like, Mike from Banana Breads. That's, like, an awesome dude.
I forgot about him.
Morph Explosion, dude's fucking pretty legit too. You know, he's kind of new to the game, but he's producing cool stuff. Super nice guy. God, I don't know. I'm, like, trying to think. You're kind of putting me on the spot.
It's hard when you get put on the spot.
Yeah, Joel, what do you got?
I got a couple guys up here. Some like young kids that are, like, getting into it, which is exciting.
Oh yeah,
they're like buying. Exactly. Yeah, they're buying, like, a lot of snakes. So Ideal Pythons and Sculpted Exotics. They're really into it right now.
They're picking some stuff up. They're pretty legit.
They stop by at the show. I told one of them to tell you when he saw, he's like, man, tell Joe I said what's up. I gotta get that way.
Yeah. Cool dude. Yeah. So they're like super into it. So they've came over a few times. I went and checked out their place. And it's, like, cool because you know, we're coming up, like, for us, we're coming up on, like, that decade mark. And so it's, like, it's nice to see somebody new with enthusiasm for, like, innovating the projects, right? Like, bringing it. Like, obviously these snakes are expensive, but I feel like the other thing that people, like, forget about is, like, we're really, like, trying to make really cool snakes, right? Like, that's the goal here. And, like, so to see people that are, like, super into it is motivating, you know, for me to keep trying to make stuff.
They're up in Prescott with you, right?
They are. Yeah. So they're local for me, which is
great. They got that excited new energy, and I see them with their pickups. Like, yeah, they're doing some cool stuff for sure.
Yeah, I remember feeling like that. Yeah. What's that?
What's the name of it? Sculpted?
Yeah, Sculpted Exotics and Ideal Pythons.
Gotcha.
Yeah, they're cool dudes. They have some really cool projects. They're kind of like joined forces. So they have a bunch of stuff going on. So check them out. Instagram.
Yeah, Mike, jot that down. All right.
Got it.
Dude, they have a wild sunset clown. Like, dude, thing is insane. So
yeah, they got some cool stuff.
They got some stuff, man. Yeah. For sure.
Nice. So have you guys been doing any of the auctions? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. I don't know if maybe, like, I feel like the old industry standard was to, like, really hate auctions. I think the way Morph Market is doing auctions is the best way that auctions have been done, would be my answer on auctions. Like, they limit the amount of auctions that can be done. They, you know, so you can't just, like, be dumping animals, you know, because people just don't want animals, you know. Like, you got to, if you use all of your slips or whatever it is, your X, I don't know what all the amounts are. I think I get three.
It's three.
A month. It's, yeah. I think
maybe depending on your level, your tier.
Yeah. I think maybe the max is five or something. I don't know what the max is. But I know you can buy.
You can sponsor.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, you're a sponsor, or you can purchase, I believe.
Yeah. You can pay after you use them. I think they're like $30, $25, something like that. I think that's valuable, the way they're doing it. So that would be my take on it. I've had decent success in the auctions with people, because I think the scary thing for auctions is the buyers, right? Like, sometimes I've just seen, like, horror stories on Instagram where buyers aren't actually paying, or, you know, and then there's no, like, maybe a less accountability on the buyer side, maybe, I think, is some people's bad experiences. But yeah, that's been me so far. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I've done a couple auctions. I would say maybe there's a little bit of room for improvement. You know, I used to do a lot of old school, like, eBay stuff, and it seems like it doesn't have quite the options. So you can't track it down as much what's happening on it. But my first two auctions I did on Morph Market, both people purchased, you know, they won the auction, they got the animal. I hit him up. One guy was like, yeah, my son was on my phone and I don't know what to tell you. And the other guy, just ghosts, just nothing. But yeah. So, I was a little disappointed. So I had to relist those animals and I had to sell them at a lesser price than what they sold originally on the auction. You know, not the end of the world, whatever. I actually linked up with some pretty cool people resulting from that. So, you know, just take that with a grain of salt and kind of understand that, you know, it's an experience, and you're taking a chance, right? An auction, you just don't know how that's going to pan out.
For sure.
All in all, I think it's just another tool in the tool belt to be utilized. Use it as you will. And some of this is just circumstance, right? You know, maybe you're lucky, you find the right person that wants to purchase that animal. And then sometimes you're in a spot where you don't link with that crowd. I kind of wish sometimes that they were a little longer. You could do like a 7-day auction or something along those lines, to just get it out in front of more people, because the chances of you finding the right buyer in a 3-day window, to me, are pretty limited. I mean, you really got to self-promote, I guess, to try and get that out so people understand that it's happening.
Yeah. I've had that same incident.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, you're good, man. I know, like,
you know, someone didn't pay.
Yeah. I had that same situation. Yeah.
It's supposedly the same guy.
The show, man. But I'm getting ready to do like this, like my first auctions, whatever. Trying to figure out how to kind of like the best way to go about that. But I'd say it's another tool, just kind of promote yourself. I haven't done like the world's greatest job of promoting like what I have available like the past like year. So for me, it's something I'm definitely going to utilize. And, you know, whatever happens, happens. But it's just nice to be able to, like I said, hopefully be able to sell something in a short window. And especially like me, when I'm sitting on multiples, it's like, all right, let's get some of the stuff out of here. And if you get rid of it at a slightly lower price than you'd like, then is what it is, but at least, you know, you moved an animal and someone else got a great deal, and they may be a customer that comes back to you to get something different down the line. So
for sure,
that definitely happens.
For me, that's been like one of the biggest, or the biggest kind of potential benefits of it long term, is getting the opportunity to like gain a customer that's going to be like potentially a long-term customer, assuming that they were happy like with that transaction.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. That's and that's a big part of it. You know, you get, I mean, I've got some killer deals on auction. You know, I've been buying on auction.
That's what I need to do. I should be buying on auctions.
Yeah, I've been buying. That's a move right there.
You know, it's what's funny. I went on there the other day, just kind of like check it out a little bit more, just kind of like prepare for you know, doing my first auction or whatnot. And I'm like, find myself, I'm saving stuff. I'm like, wait, let me come back to that. Like, I might have to dip my toe in that auction just to scoop that thing up.
Yeah. Oh yeah, dude.
For yeah. Sure. Yeah. I might drop a little $5 bid here and
there. Yeah, a little $5 like, bid just so you get an update.
Right. Yeah. Like, oh, let me see what it's at.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Now yeah. I want to look at auctions. Hold on.
There's some stuff on auctions. I got a DG Clown on auction. It's pretty good.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
It was one on there before, right?
Yeah. I got mail from there.
Oh, you got the DG
Clown. Yeah,
was that Jason?
From why
was it Jordan? Right.
It was from Cybel's Snake.
Oh, so all right.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, he's good. His original guy, Jake. Yeah,
I got some stuff from him.
Yeah, such a cool looking snake too. So I was surprised it was even. I don't know. It seems like it bounced around a lot, but it's been fantastic here. It wasn't
was it male or female.
What's that?
It was a male or a female?
Male. Yeah, he's been great here. He wasn't taking rats before, but he's eating rats for me 3 weeks in a row now. So I don't know. He's doing all the normal snake stuff for me.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yes, it's some dope stuff on the auction.
Like there is.
Yeah.
For sure.
All right, I'm sold. I'm going to do a little shopping here this week.
Yeah,
guys, bring that heat to the auction this week. All right, let's go.
Yeah, there's just some stuff on there. There's been some cool stuff. Like some like Monarch.
You know what? I didn't even think I have an auction up right now. I think like a Hypo DG Clown project. It's a triple het male and like some 66% het females. I don't know. I think I had a limit. The problem is you got to understand, like, do you put it as a no reserve, right? You're like exposing yourself to like, hey man, whatever. Somebody puts $1 on here or $5 or whatever. You're going to
gamble.
Yeah, exactly. A little bit of a gamble, but it draws more attention too. And for sure. You know how it is. Things get a little heated in those bidding wars, right? That can happen. Yeah. So that's the goal, is to produce a bidding war and get people to bid it.
Yeah. You got to have at least two people interested in it. And then the price like start ratcheting up like at the end.
Yeah.
And like usually someone try to wait to like 6 minutes and some change and like they'll drop their last bid in it, on it and hope the other person who wants it misses, but then the other person will see it, then they'll bid, then it just keeps going on and on and on because they have extra 5 minutes. And so like that's what I look forward to. Like I've had times where I just sat there and watched it and I was like,
Yeah, right.
But I had other times where I was like, oh man, like nobody gonna bid this up.
This is where we're gonna hit at. Right. Yeah. It's cool when it goes the other way though. That's for
sure.
I tried the start and bid one time, but that was a failed auction.
I did that too.
That's what this one is. I just put up. I put it like a starting at like $500. You know, we'll see. I don't think I have any bids. So, you know, you kind of like figure these things out and you learn, right? If you're like, okay, this was a failed auction, how do I adjust that? And then you just strategize from there.
Yeah.
My best have been no reserves. For sure.
Yeah, I've done like one reserve. And I've done one with a starting bid. It didn't work out well for me. But the no reserves, they always work. I mean, because, I mean, that's how they're structured. And then, like, I've won some, I've lost some.
Yeah, right.
But each time I want a customer. So that's the way
I do it. Yeah, that's like, that's a huge part.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice. And a lot of people are looking at them. You know, I look at them. Exactly. I look at the auctions all the time, just when I'm bored.
Well,
I'm just like, okay.
And even that, it's like, it's traffic, right? So
it's traffic.
Okay. Yeah. They look at it and they're on your page anyways. They're going to check out what else you got. And maybe that converts later.
So. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely think it's a net benefit. Like, it's not perfect, but it's definitely a net benefit in my opinion.
Yeah.
What do you think, Matt? What do you think they'd do better? Since you were talking about eBay?
I mean, that's that too.
I was just noticing like it didn't seem like there was a lot of options for like tracking it. Like the first time I sold something, I couldn't even tell what had happened, what had transpired, and how many bids were in there. Like I just like, it's nice to be able to look and see. Basically, I'm just notified, and maybe I'm not. Maybe I need to get on like a desktop version. You know, I'm just looking on my mobile on the app.
No, but, you're right.
There may be a better way to look at it. Yeah,
so, that's like, a cool idea.
So yeah. While the auction is like going on, there's like a bid count that's hyperlinked, and you can click on it, and it'll show you like each person that bid, but it won't show you their full name. It's like five characters.
Blank it out.
Exactly. And so you can see it that way, but after the auction closes, that goes away.
Yeah, Will was saying
maybe that's it. Okay.
Will was saying in chat that they, I guess, added where you can sell to the second bidder now.
Yeah,
I did. That's good.
That was annoying too.
Yeah.
In the instance like Matt had.
Yeah, or if you sold it was already sold and bid up, like, yeah, it'd be nice to just be able to offer. I didn't see that option. Again,
I think that's new.
Minimally.
So, yeah, that's brand new. Like,
yeah, I don't think that's been an option.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's like, even like, so you got a hurdle to like jump over. Like, I guess it's like a control to prevent people from like abusing it, where you got to like message them and say, hey, I want to contact the second bidder. And you got to report it that the person who won it didn't pay. Like somebody from getting like with like me calling Marvin and saying, hey, yo, what's up, bro? Hey, bid my thing up, and then I'm gonna just sell it to the second guy, and you help me bid it.
I got a report,
Marvin, that he didn't buy it, and so I don't want to report Marvin.
The game, game in the game, man. Everybody's scheming, dude.
Yeah, man. There's a lot of scammers out there. It's funny.
Yeah.
We've come a long way. This used to be a pretty dirty industry, and there's like, man, there's some legit people in this industry now, and it seems like they've kind of they weed themselves out, right? Like over time, you get a reputation, right? Either for the good, right? Like, oh, hey, man, this guy's legit. He brings solid stuff. Their health, it's all healthy. Or for the bad, like this guy's a scammer. He sells fake heads. And there's going to be less and less scammers around, and more legit people, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, like this girl local to me, she sold a snake on Morph Market to like somebody local, and they picked it up locally, and like a few hours later they did a charge back on her, and
that's dirty.
Yeah,
we don't do business with her no more, right?
Like, say again.
We don't do business with her no more. Like, get, you know, get her out of here, you know, weed her out, call her out, you know.
Well, it wasn't her that did it. Like, she sold it to a couple, and the person charged back on her.
That's what I'm talking about. The person charged back.
But yeah, that was just crazy. Like, I always worry about that. Have you guys ever like encountered something like that where somebody tried to do like a chargeback or something like that?
No, fortunately, no. But I mean, it is a concern. Like, you should definitely be cognizant and using. There's some apps that are, you know, payment apps or whatever that are better than others, right? Some are more prone to side with the buyer, and others less so. I pretty much accept them all, so I'm pretty flexible on it, whatever works for a person. But some people will specifically only, like, I think PayPal is one that they will. I do a lot of transactions through PayPal. It's no big deal, but I think they will side with the purchaser. If they have a grievance, they're probably automatically going to get their money back.
Yeah. Especially if they do like goods and services.
Yeah. Got to be careful with that one. Get that friends and family, baby. You know, you can at least.
I try not to on that stuff, man. I'm like, man, here's my preferred payment methods. And then, those Zelle, you know, that type of thing, man. But
yeah, that's a permanent one, right? If you do a Zelle, that's like, there's no take backs, right?
Yeah.
Venmo, I think, is the same way as well, if I'm not mistaken. I like Square. I've been trying to use Square as much as I can. That's a good one.
Will Square side with the buyer?
What's that?
So in that same kind of instance, will Square side with the buyer? Like with the charge back?
I don't think so. I don't want to be a rep for Square, you know, and speak on something I have no idea about, but I have definitely used them and had no issues, and it's like nice tracking, and they have some other features too. I think Square is pretty good.
Yeah, it's mobile. That's nice, you know.
Yeah.
That's big deal.
If you could figure out how to do the damn card reader. Me and Marvin were over here like a couple monkeys looking at my phone.
I'm like, man, you got, first of all, I'm team iPhone over here. And yeah. I'm like, man, your screen doesn't look like mine, bro. Like, I'm out.
Get out of here with that green bubble. Listen, I got a new phone, and I figured it out after the fact. As soon as I got home, I was unpacking. I was like, oh, well, this is easy. Why didn't I know this? But when you got somebody standing there with a card like, hey, man, I want to pay you for this snake, you're like, hold on. Let me work on this thing. I got to sort it out, though. So, yeah.
Yeah. I'm definitely team iPhone myself too.
Yeah.
We looked a bit
tribal. I don't appreciate
the app, man. So I'm like, what? People like, come on. Like, you know that. I don't know.
You always been an Android guy. You just switched
yeah,
over.
Yeah. Phone.
Okay.
Hopefully, you guys will take my text messages. I really, you know.
When I see that green bubble, I start thinking about people.
Oh, I thought we were tighter than this.
Green bubble's a problem, man.
It is, man. Especially when I used to get the blue bubble, then I see it's green. I'm like,
what a tactic! You know what a what an Apple tactic that was.
Nice, man. Yeah, man. So, definitely been a super fun show, guys. I gotta hit the job super early in the morning, so I'm gonna call it early, a little early this morning.
There you go,
gotcha.
But yeah, it's been a great episode, man. I have a blast, man. I wish I could stay on a lot longer, but duty calls.
Yeah, I'm a brother for work too. This is what it is.
Yeah, there's that grind. I think we all got those. I haven't made it as a snake breeder yet. Obviously, I still have to wake up and go to work, put my pants on. So
life be life.
Man.
Life be life for sure.
It's been extra lively lately, though.
Extra lively, I get that. Yeah.
But before we get out of here, like, is anything you guys want to promote, tell people to look out for, and all that good stuff?
I'll be doing the Reptile Super Show in Pomona. It is like the last week of June. Don't quote me on the dates. Maybe 28th and 29th or something like that. It's gonna be the Reptile Super Show. The bird super show, aquatic super show, and the succulent super show. Really look forward to it. I think my booth is going to be over by MJ, somewhere over on the left side, if I recall correctly. I don't know specifically, but should be a good time. Definitely come out, see me, say hello, buy a snake, and that's all I got.
Nice.
Yeah. Dude, that'll be a fun show.
Yeah.
Coming?
I want to get out there to the
West Coast one day. I'm like 99% sure I'm going to that show.
You should, Mike. We'll be hanging. Come on.
Yeah. You going to the show, Joel?
I think that's my That's
you gotta fly in.
Show, man. I haven't been to a show in a long time. I have one summer school class.
I may have to come hang.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I'm Vinny. I don't think, but I may have to come hang.
Yeah. We can just drive out.
Yeah, let's do that.
Easy. Yeah.
Nice. What about you,
Martin? Go ahead, Joel. We got a plug, man.
Plug. I'm just going to, I don't know, plug the hobby, man. Like, start, quit whining about how the market's crashed and start buying stuff. there's an opportunity here. Like, if the money isn't there, start focusing on the things that matter, like producing badass snakes, going to these shows, hanging out with your friends, and making memories, because we just got time here on this planet. So let's just have fun, man. Like, this is an incredible hobby. It doesn't have to make you millions of dollars to be worth it, I guess, is my point.
Yeah.
So, that's a dope-ass message, for real.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Man, I would say the whole go-to-show thing, man, like the past, the Mesa show, like, and just, like, the stuff I had going on, like, life-wise, man, like, was the timing of it, everything was good. Really kind of re-energized me. So as far as like things I'm gonna plug, man, like I hadn't posted on social media in like a good 6 months, man. So I've actually posted a few things lately, the past like week and a half, 2 weeks, man. So keep an eye out for just stuff I'm gonna be posting, like that stuff I'm gonna go through and like figure out like what I'm making available, auctions, stuff like that. I may post my social media first so you guys will know what's up. I got doubles, triples of things sometimes, so like some guys want, man, just slide in those DMs, man.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
Goes down in the DM.
Yes, sir.
But guys, like I said, man, I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Definitely wish we could stay a lot longer, but we definitely have to get y'all back on the show one day in the near future. Everybody out there checking it out, appreciate y'all coming through every week, showing y'all support. Shout out to the replay gang. When you're watching on the replay, definitely, man, hit that like button. If you hadn't subscribed, hit that subscribe button. And definitely drop a comment. Let us know you were here. Shout out to the audio-only gang on all the major podcasting platforms. Until next time for Cutler's Conversations, I'm Mike, the lovely lady behind the scenes. It's the car. Thank y'all for coming out. Be blessed. Peace.
See ya.